about membrane and membrane reactors. Some of the things that were said yesterday will be repeated just for the people that was not present yesterday. But mainly I wish to resume that we have two different kind of membranes used in the membrane reactors for the production of pure hydrogen or not pure hydrogen, like a syngas. And I'll focus my attention today only on this difference in the behavior of these kind of membranes that are the supported one and the unsupported one. The unsupported one are generally thick around 50 microns. This means that the amount of palladium is very high with respect to the other ones that are among 10, 20 microns, and sometimes also less than 2 microns. So the amount of palladium is reduced. The palladium cost is very high today, around 18, 19 euro per gram. Moreover, it tends to increase rapidly because in 1995 it was 0.2, 0.3 euro per gram. In September, October of last year it was 5 euro per gram. Now it is 18. So we need to reduce the amount of palladium for producing pure hydrogen. But when we use composite membranes, we have problems. We have some problems because composite means at least two different materials. Composite. Palladium is a metal. The palladium alloy used, for example, palladium silver, palladium copper, are also metals. If the support is not a metal, for example, a ceramic one, when we increase the temperature, the dilatation coefficient different creates a broken on the membrane, breaks the membrane. It breaks the membrane. If we use the same metals, metal as a support and metal as a film, in this case there is a problem because one of the alloys of the palladium diffuses into the stainless steel, destroying the membrane. So from one side we have thick membranes, 50 or more microns, so we pay a very huge price about this. On the other side, we can reduce the thickness, but in this case we have also tried to understand how can I avoid that the membrane is destroyed. This is just to resume what I said yesterday. Okay? When I show the different situations. Now I apply this concept to the steam reforming of ethanol in three different membranes in order to understand what happens. And moreover, I'll apply another kind of membrane to the steam reforming of methanol, just to show that this kind of new membrane also works. Well, we already know about my research institute. I do not want to repeat here the same things I said yesterday. You know that we are 30 units of permanent staff, of which 24, not 23, because one 2 days ago was a new one. It is a multidisciplinary institute, and this is also for us another important aspect. If you sometimes, I hope you will be in Italy, I suggest you to visit in the south of Italy, this one, the Riazes Bronze, and also this one that are very important. Our institute is an institute related to the membrane development, membrane science and membrane technology. So we study many aspects of the membrane, inorganic membrane reactors, gas separation using polymeric membranes, membrane contactors, fuel cell, but mainly related to the membrane. A fuel cell is considered by membranologists as a membrane reactor. It is an electrochemical membrane reactor, where the heart, the core of this fuel cell is the membrane. Also, there are some aspects related to the membrane bioreactor for artificial liver, for example, and the water desalination by using membrane filtrations, such as nanofiltration, microfiltration, ultrafiltration, and the reverse osmosis. In particular, my talk and my work is much more related to inorganic membrane reactors, as well as gas separations, in particular with respect to CO2, using polymeric membranes. The palladium was firstly used in 1866 by Dr. Graham, the scientist of UK, to separate hydrogen in a gaseous mixture. After this time, in next 32 years, Zelinsky in Moscow used the first composite catalyst by combining hydrogen production during hydrochloric acid reaction with zinc and hydrogenation by a palladium sponge covering the zinc granules. This was the first paper published on this aspect of the catalysis. Some years later, 76 later, Professor Grazinov was the first one in the world that started to study membrane reactors using palladium for the dehydrogenation of cyclohexane. I studied a lot with Professor Grazinov. I had also various projects for 10 years. I was many times in his laboratory. So he was a very, very high scientist. He was, because some years ago, unfortunately, he died. He was very old. The number of papers started to, after this time, started to increase rapidly about the field of membrane reactors. And here is documented a paper published by McClear in 2006 that there is an exponential increase about membrane reactors, about patents, and about many aspects related to membranes. In particular, we can see here that there are maybe three different curves. Curve one represents the number of papers published on membrane reactors, each kind of membrane reactors, zeolite, biomembrane reactor, and so on. On scopes, you go, you push membrane reactor, and there is a list of papers that you can see. So you can see that there is, for example, last year there were 3,000 in the curve one paper published only on membrane reactor. In the curve two, we refer to both membrane reactors and hydrogen. So the membrane reactors that were used for the production of hydrogen, it is not specified that it is pure hydrogen. So we use the curve 3 for this, membrane reactor and pure hydrogen. As you can see, in each case there is an exponential increase. This part represents here in a different scale, 0.80. Just to resume two words about the membrane, the main aspect of the membrane is to control the mass transfer through it. This is the membrane, something that controls the mass transport. In the case of inorganic dense membrane, we have an infinite selectivity of the permeation of hydrogen versus all the other gases, dense palladium-based. Palladium-based means only palladium or palladium yttria, palladium other metals. This is the same also for the silver, but with respect to oxygen, this is something that is present in nature. Also, ourselves, we have something about membrane in nature. We have the pump sodium-potassium in our nature, and not human, but from millions of years. We want to see how our system works in order to check and to reproduce it. In the case of polymeric dense membranes, vice versa, we do not have this very large selectivity. For example, in the case of oxygen nitrogen, the selectivity is at around 8, 10. Someone found 12, but is not infinite. Also, in the case, for example, of CO2 nitrogen, there is an average value of around 50. Someone found 70, 60, 70, but is not 200, is not 500, and it is not infinite. This is the main difference between polymeric and inorganic. Of course, inorganic can be used at a very high temperature, more than 200 degrees centigrade till to 900, for example, perovskite membranes. In the case of polymeric membranes, vice versa, except for some polymers that can be used till to 150-180 degrees centigrade, generally they work only well at low temperature. To keep in mind, so that the membrane controls the transfer of the material that is in contact with the surface here to be passed in the other surface. Today it is possible to buy just many tubular inorganic modules. The module, what is? The module is a system represented here that is mainly made by a membrane. This box represents a membrane in which we have a feed. Something that do not pass through the membrane is considered retentate, and what passes through the membrane is the permeate. So, for example, if we have air, 80% nitrogen and 20% nitrogen, and the oxygen pass through the membrane, more, we saw, around 10, for example, more than nitrogen, this means that here the retentate has a different concentration, is reached into nitrogen, because something, oxygen, is passing through. So we have two streams with a different composition, with a different mixture composition. And considering the third one, we have three different streams. This is a membrane. Well, in the case of flat membrane, the system is quite simple. In the case of modules, the module is practically a flat membrane wrapped around. And you have to connect, of course, here. Practically, there are a lot of inorganic modules. This is a ceramic one that you can buy. There are many sellers in Europe, someone also in China and in Japan. And this one is a carbon molecular sieve membrane. This one is a module made by palladium silver membranes. It's not commercial, is made at a laboratory scale with 19 tubes. These are orlophile membranes. There are also capillary membranes, very, very thin, in which there are thousands of membrane in the same module. This is a section of an aloe fiber, and these are modules that is possible to buy somewhere. This is a very used spiral wound module. The main difference in laboratory scale between a membrane reactor and a traditional reactor is that in the case of membrane reactor we have a thin layer that is permeable to one, at least one gas. In the case of traditional reactor, this is not allowed. So the geometry is practically the same. The catalyst used is the same. The reactions that are carried out are the same. So it has sense to compare the results of a traditional reactor with the ones of membrane reactors, because only one thing is different. The wall. Moreover, here we can also see that we can use the sweep gas. What is a sweep gas? In the case of a traditional reactor, we do not have a sweep gas, of course, because we have a stream here and it reacts or not, and we have here the product. Here we have the same in this system, but in the shell side we can use a sweep gas. What is the effect of the sweep gas? The effect is this one. During the permeation, hydrogen from the lumen here accumulates in the other part. But if it accumulates in the other part, increase the pressure in the other part. But the driving force of the membrane is related to the pressure, the partial pressure. In this case, we have only one gas, so the total pressure. So, to work well, the membrane should have here a partial pressure of hydrogen higher than the partial pressure here. Otherwise, the gas is not pushed. Okay? But if we increase the hydrogen in this side, without carrying out it, this means that the reaction is going to reduce its effect. So we need a sweep gas in order to push away the hydrogen that is accumulated in the other part of the membrane. In this case, we reduce the partial pressure, and so the driving force is very high, continue to be very high. But if we use the sweep gas, the mixture at the end is composed by at least two gases, hydrogen and another one. So it is not pure hydrogen. No problem about this, because as a sweep gas we can use, for example, water vapor. So, here it is true that we have two gases, water vapor and hydrogen, but it is almost simple to separate. So, the concept remains as said. This is a photo of the module, and this is a membrane that we used. This is the one I already showed you with 19 of these membranes. The catalyst could be put outside in the shell side or inside the membrane. There is a small difference in the behavior. Well, one important aspect to be understood about membrane reactors, apart from the ones I said yesterday, is this other. Let us consider, for example, the steam reforming of methane. In this case, apart from the pretreatment step, we need at least 4 units for reaching the condition to have pure hydrogen. 4. The steam reforming system, reactor, at 800-850 degrees centigrade. 2. Water gas shift reactors, the high temperature around 350-400 degrees Celsius. Another one, low shift water gas shift reactor, around 250-300 degrees Celsius. And another one here, in order to convert the CO unconverted, in order to push it, moreover, again, more the reaction. Otherwise, if we are here, the stream here cannot be fed directly, for example, to a PEM fuel cell, because PEM fuel cell is damaged. There is a catalyst that has a problem if the CO concentration is higher than 10 ppm. So we need to subtract other CO. One way to subtract other CO to the mixture is to use here a pressure swing adsorption system, or a reactor, another reactor, and there are 4 reactors. For example, the PROX, in order to make an oxidation of CO, to convert CO into CO2. Or here, a membrane system in which palladium is also used. So all the hydrogen pass through, but is not a reactor here. Only the hydrogen pass through, and in this case, here we have pure hydrogen to be fed directly to the PEM fuel cell. So at least 4 units, remember well this. What happens with the membrane reactor? We can substitute all this system, with only one, called membrane reactors. At the end of the membrane reactor, we have pure hydrogen. So there is also a problem about the cost, the handling of the material, the maintenance, and so on. This is the membrane reactor, a scheme in which, already you know, the reactants enter here, there is a reaction, the membrane is, for example, in this case, palladium silver based, and the hydrogen passes through this membrane and is accumulated here. In order to avoid that the concentration here at the end reach the same pressure than the concentration here, when we have the same concentration of hydrogen, partial pressure of hydrogen, the hydrogen do not pass, and so the reaction is blocked. The permeation. This means that the behavior of this system is like a traditional reactor. So we need to decrease the concentration of hydrogen here, or the pressure of hydrogen here, if it is alone. For example, using a sweep gas. As I said, the target is to feed direct PEM fuel cell, and the dream is to use a membrane reactor in this equipment. To produce hydrogen, there are many, many ways. In particular, the one we are studying in the last time is through the biomass using bioethanol, ethanol and bioethanol. among all the reactions, there are more than 100 that has been studied for production of hydrogen, pure or not. I have chosen these ones, the dehydrogenation of these ones, the dry reforming of methane, the dry reforming, and sometimes is added also water, for example. The oxidative dehydrogenation of methane is methane, methanol, the steam reforming of acetic, ethanol, methane, methanol. Most of the water gas shift reaction, almost 50% of all of this I have studied. For example, I was the first in the world to study the acetic acid in membrane reactors. The glycerol also, not reproduced here, I was the first, the ethanol among the first, and so on. Few words about this scheme. This represents the oxygen excess ratio with respect to the steam to carbon ratio. This is a well-known scheme diagram. When we do not use steam, we have, for example, this kind of reaction that is called partial oxidation. Okay? Vice versa, if we do not use oxygen, we are in this situation, and this is called steam reforming, catalytic steam reforming. Vice versa, when we use both oxygen and steam, we are in the autothermal reforming system. Below one, we have a syngas production using traditional reactors. More than one, it is called combustion. Why ethanol? Mainly because ethanol, with respect to methane and methanol, is that it is liquid, so has some advantages, and it is not toxic, like, for example, the methanol. And moreover, it is produced in large amount in Brazil, USA, and other people are trying to develop it, to produce it. The number of papers produced in ethanol steam reforming during the last 30 years is, as you can see, growing exponentially, the total number. Also the ones related to membrane reactors. So there is an interest in using the ethanol and to carry out it in a steam reforming reaction. Again, this part is related to only this situation with a different scale. So the number of reactions that are considered in the steam reforming of ethanol, you can see there are 2, 4, 6, 8, but these are the main reactions. It is not only one. For example, generally, the water gas shift reaction is always present, is combined. So when someone wants to model, for example, the system should consider, must consider all these reactions. It is important also the Boudoir reaction, because in this case, when some conditions are satisfied, carbon is produced, and the carbon will cover the catalyst as well as the membrane, and so the reaction is blocked. So it is important to understand if there is a carbon production or not. The catalysts used in ethanol steam reforming in fixed bed reactors, in traditional reactors, are distinguished here between noble metals and the non-noble metals. Of course, there are hundreds here, and has been not reported, because otherwise it is not possible to see them. Vice versa, due to the small amount of papers published in the ethanol steam reforming in membrane reactors, we were able also to reproduce them here, to report them here.